Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel segment on a special fun drive edition of the roundtable panel. We'll be with you for the next hour till 10 o'clock this morning. And this is all in the effort to bring you the programming that you love, but also to raise funds, all important funds for this public radio station. We have a lot of work to do. We have a lot to talk about this morning, and we will do so in mere moments. I just want to remind you that we'll get to all of the topics. We will talk to all of our folks, but while we're doing that, we're also going to try to add $10,000 to the equation, and that's not bad. Right. And I believe we have a $10,000 challenge. So that is also pretty cool. And we'll give you details on that in just a moment. Let me introduce the group to you and we will get started. WAMC.org if you want to get started in helping the lockbox. 1-800-323-9262 if you want to talk to one of our glorious volunteers. Public policy and communications expert Teresa Bourgeois is here. Good morning, Teresa. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm doing well. I was able to answer a few phones before we started, and one of them was Monica, and that's my mom's name. So
that's my mom's name. Very
and
nice.
She was sounded as delightful as my mother. So it was a joy, and thank you to everybody who's pledging and new members. I'm all about the new members.
So are we.
So let's get a bunch
new
in
members,
the next hour.
Sustaining members, those are all,
everybody.
Whatever people do is welcome. But,
thank you.
But yes, we do appreciate that. Teresa, thanks for coming in and helping us out. It's a real pleasure. Also, we welcome editor-at-large columnist, editorial writer for the Times Union, Jay Jochnowitz is here. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well, but I'm a little torn. Because okay. I want the lockbox to be filled, but I also want to keep enjoying the magic banter that is Sarah and Ray.
It is magic banter.
They are a delight.
Yeah, I have to say, you don't need the fun drive for that. If you just like go into the office at any given time, that's sort of going on.
Perfect.
But yeah, so don't feel. But as far as being broadcast, yes, you're right.
Just Ray and anybody.
Yeah,
he's
very
a character.
Fun. Very
he's
fun.
A character.
And the mayor, the former mayor, the former mayor of this city, Albany, New York, Kathy Sheehan is with us. Good morning, Kathy. How are you?
I am great. I am drinking from my WAMC Sip, Listen, Repeat that we must have received for some sort of donation that we made. So, I encourage people donate. This is something worth supporting. And when you hear what we have to talk about today, you should tremble about the future of our democracy and understand that a free and loud and vociferous voices are needed, and this is one of them. So,
well, it's absolutely true, and it's one of the reasons we're doing the fun drive the way we're doing it, is so we can give people news, give people opportunities to hear what's going on, and that we don't lose that, because what's happening is so mind-blowing is one word. Is that two words? I don't know if you put the J.
Hyphenated.
Is that one word?
Mind-blowing?
Yeah.
Hyphenated. No,
okay.
That's one.
Okay. just wanted to check that out from the editor. So here's the thing. We need to make $10,000 by 10 o'clock, and we get a $5,000 challenge from Linda and Rob from Petersburg. I think I inverted it before, but it is a $5,000 challenge from Linda and Rob if we get this by 10 o'clock. And we need to get to $867,000. So we're on the clock now, and we only have about 46 minutes to do it in. 1-800-323-9262. I don't have to tell you, $5,000 is a lot of money. I also have to tell you that that's double the challenge that we had yesterday, which was also a lot of money. I also have to tell you that we made that challenge. So there's an expectation now that we can actually make these. So we want to do that. And I know you'll all come together and make it happen. Do what you can. WAMC.org, WAMC.org. We also will welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. Let us talk about the news of the day. I think the mayor put it into pretty good perspective as to where we are in some of these stories. Trump, in an escalation, writes the New York Times, calls for Republicans to, quote-unquote, nationalize elections. The comments were made on a conservative podcast following a string of moves from his administration to try to exert more control over American elections. I think I just want to go into this segment acknowledging the many, 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 many listeners who for the past year and a half have been saying this was going to happen. Yes, we know. And you were on the button, but we still want to talk about it. President Trump called in a new interview for the Republican Party to nationalize voting in the United States, an aggressive rhetorical step that was likely to raise new worries about his administration's efforts to involve itself in election matters, especially, I'm adding this, but the midterms coming up. During an extended monologue about immigration on a podcast released on Monday by Dan Bongino, his former deputy FBI director, Mr. Trump called for Republican officials to, quote, take over voting procedures in 15 states, though he did not name them. I bet we can guess. The Republicans should say we want to take over, he said. We should take over the voting in at least many 15 places. The Republicans ought to nationalize the voting. Nationalize the voting. Under the Constitution, American elections are governed primarily by state law, leading to a decentralized process in which voting is administered by county and municipal officials in thousands of precincts across the country. Mr. Trump, however, has long been fixated on the false claims that U.S. elections are rife with fraud and that Democrats are perpetrating a vast conspiracy to have undocumented immigrants vote and lift the party's turnout. I know it may be hard, but if you get a chance to listen to his remarks on the Bongino podcast, you really should. I think many will find it chilling. Mr. Trump's remarkable call for a political party to seize the mechanisms of voting follows a string of moves from his administration to try to exert more control over American elections as he and his allies continue to make false claims about his 2020 defeat. Want an example? Okay, here's one. Last week, FBI agents seized ballots and other voting records from the 2020 elections from an election center in Fulton County, Georgia, where his allies have for years pursued false claims of election fraud. This has been debunked over and over and over and over again, and yet those ballots were seized. The New York Times reported on Monday that Mr. Trump had spoken on a phone to the FBI, to the agents involved in the raid, praising and thanking them. We'll go there before we go over, we'll end there, and we go over to our panel. A reminder, we need you for our challenge, WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. Kathy Sheehan.
Well, I think that the headline should be in his often used maneuver to distract from the fact that ICE is kidnapping children and people off of our streets and putting them in horrific conditions in prisons, that the Epstein files continue to be a source of information about the level of involvement Trump had with Jeffrey Epstein, and to distract from other things that are really outraging Americans as we look at what is happening across this country, the president says something outrageous. And so that's not to say that we shouldn't pay attention and be certainly alarmed by this, and that we shouldn't make sure that those who represent us in Congress know that this is a no-go zone. I think that this is, again, what this administration does to distract us from the fact that he is reaping billions of dollars for his own coffers, using the presidency to cut deals with foreign countries and with all sorts of folks. And this is just, again, he gets out on the edge. Everyone is outraged by what we're seeing happening in Minnesota. Everyone is outraged. You know, we're going to talk about it later, ICE with body cams. You know, look, as the mayor of a city that deployed body cameras to all of our police officers, it's a 2 to 3 year project to roll that out. It's not something that just all of a sudden tomorrow they're all going to have body cams. But in any event, I think to distract distract from those things, he says something so outrageous. And so now for the next two news cycles, that's what we're going to be talking about.
I don't disagree with you at all on anything you just said. However, it seems that this is an intent. Like, this is not off the rails for him in the sense of it seems that he has been, preaching this for quite a while of not using that word nationalize, but certainly to change the election, the way elections are held.
And he already took a step in that direction back in January when he issued an executive order that was clearly unconstitutional and it's been challenged, and trying to order changes in election law and election procedures that he doesn't have the authority to do. He doesn't have the authority to do because Congress has the authority, or he doesn't have the authority to do it because the Constitution says this is a matter for the states. It's almost, falling into, going down the rabbit hole with him to argue the what a bad idea this would be to begin with.
Not to mention the constitutionality.
Right.
Yeah.
Not to mention constitutionality. Yeah. But, I've covered elections for a long time. I remember one time there was an irregularity, and they happened so often, it sticks so seldom that it sticks in my head that it happened. It was during Jerry Jennings' run against Harold Joyce for mayor, and there was
him, Kathy? Go ahead.
There was something with it was an irregularity. I don't remember the specifics of it, but I do remember that I called the Board of Elections after hours, and I think it was Ray Kinley was the election inspector who came, the election commissioner who came down to the Board of Elections after hours and pulled the card on it and looked at it. He was livid, and it was in a Democratic primary, and I think Ray was a Democrat.
Yep.
And he, the thought of somebody doing something criminal or somebody doing something irregular in an election just bothered him so much. I could see the sincerity in his face. He was really upset about this. These are the people you want running your elections. They are not the people at, some faceless bureaucrat in Washington that you have no possibility of appealing to, no possibility of arguing with. This belongs at the state level. So that's, that's probably the first thing that everybody, whether you're Republican or Democrat, needs to consider. You want those people you can call up, you can find them in the supermarket, you can get them wherever they are, down at their office, and say, "What the heck are you doing?" So that's the first thing. And the other thing is this idea that he's going to do this selectively it's not going to fly in court, but, I there's a lot to say about this, but I'll let Teresa get in. I point to Gavin Newsom and what he did in California with redistricting. It's like, you want to play this game, you're going to come up against people who are perfectly ready to play it with you, and they'll do it a whole lot better than you will.
We welcome you to join us, panel at WAMC.org, if you have any comments on this. Also, we have a challenge going, $5,000 if we make $10,000. So far, we're needing $7,488 to go to get to that point. We need you, WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. If you want to keep having these type of conversations and make sure that the roundtable can continue and that we can do it in this fashion, we need your support as always. You're always there for us, and we hope you're there for us today. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262, $7,488, and we will get a $5,000 challenge if we can do this by 10 a.m. Teresa Bourgeois.
I think that this is an escalation, but a continuing of a pattern. You know, the pattern starting when he came down the escalator in Trump Tower in, what was it, 2015, whenever it was. Oh, my God, it seems like generations ago. But
we were all younger.
Oh, gosh. But you know, that he has, for a very long time, through his disinformation campaign and his actions, worked to destabilize our elections process, worked to sow doubt in the integrity of the elections. You know, this was when he called Raffensperger and said, I didn't get that name quite right, but in Georgia, you know, all I need is how many votes? 11,000 votes. And then when that didn't work and he did all the other things he did and ultimately got a group of people to go from the Ellipse where he was cheering them on up to the Capitol and, you know, lead an insurrection. And that didn't work because Mike Pence got in the way, but thankfully stood his ground. And I think that this has been a layering and layering. I mean, even things as the post office where they, you know, he has railed against mail-in voting. And they changed the system now so that your letters aren't postmarked on a certain day anymore, and so that you can't rely on the postmark for when the ballots. I mean, in all different.
Just to explain that they're now stamped on the day they're processed, not the day that they are quote unquote mailed.
Right, and that matters. It matters when you're voting because if you put it in the post office, you mail in your ballot, it's still valid as long as it's postmarked before Election Day. And so in large ways, insurrection and calling and saying, give me votes, and in small detail ways, changing the postmark process, he and his ilk have been working to undermine our elections. And I think that, you know, obviously there's so much horrific stuff going on. There's alienating our trading partner Canada, so they're moving to China and others for trade. There's all of the grifting and holding kids in decrepit detention facilities, you know, stopping people, all of it.
We only have a half hour, Teresa.
I'm sorry. No, but I think this, in combination with arresting journalists, is something we really have to pay attention to. I think it's deeply, deeply disturbing and dangerous. And the fact that Tulsi Gabbard is on the phone with him and he's talking to FBI agents when they're doing the raid in Georgia. It's complicated, but it's deeply, deeply disturbing. And what's going to keep our system going is that we need local elections officials to continue to do their job. We need people like Brad Raffensperger, more of him, to say, no, even though I'm a Republican, even though I supported you, this is not how it happens. We need people like step up, like what Mike Pence did. Those are going to be the fire breaks in the system that say this is not democracy. We still believe in democracy.
But I agree with you, again, agree with you wholeheartedly. But, you know, kudos to all the election officials who've been doing this.
Absolutely.
over the last 8 years, but it doesn't matter because it's still, he comes back to it and back to it and back to it and back to it. I mean, it's like, okay, we get it. And
they've tried to put their own people in the key positions,
right,
in the election system. But it's, our democracy is going to hold if those people stand up and say, no, we care more about democracy than we do about your pressure and your threats.
Which is unfortunately, why he wants to nationalize elections is to put people. I think he knows the constitutional limits here, but I think what he's doing is he's pushing an extreme, and it'll come back to some quote unquote. Well, let's just say legal. I don't want to say reasonable. It'll come back to some legal foundation that they can do where they abuse the election process.
Well, don't you think it's just a constant poking at the system? So, for instance, when they're in Minnesota and they're going in and going into houses without judicial warrants, they go in. Well, we can go in with this. I can't remember what they call it, but it's not an administrative warrant, right? And they know that that's going to be tested in the courts, but they say we can do it, we can do it, we can do it, even though it hadn't been done before, right? So it'll go through the courts. The courts will probably tell them no, but it's constantly pressing at the bounds of our democracy, which is tearing it. And the question is, will they tear it completely or will it hold?
And that's, you know, that's a really good point, that the courts are slow when it comes to fixing all this stuff, and they are fast in breaking the law. So they keep breaking the law, and it goes on for months. And, you know, I mean, here we are with the tariffs. How long have we been waiting? We're a year into the tariffs, and the Supreme Court has still not said this is legal or not.
Well, and a judge, I mean, the news that I just saw is that a judge has wiped the order requiring the feds to preserve all of the evidence associated with the shooting of Alex Pretty. So even with the courts involved, we're just it's a constant back and forth and back and forth. And I think it comes down to the fact that we have a president and an administration that is willing to use the power of the federal government and the power of the presidency and of the Justice Department and of the all of the agencies under that Justice Department against the people who live in this country. That is where we are at this point in time. And they will wield it and wield it and wield it. There is no sense of any guardrails with respect to what they will do to people who live in this country.
I have to hold you there. Keep pledging. We'll give you an update when you come back. When we come back, WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and the Have Your Cake and Eat It Too edition of the Roundtable panel. We want you to have a Roundtable panel. We want to talk about these important issues. We want to hear from these brilliant minds. We also want to make money so we can keep this radio station going. So instead of just blowing through and not having a Roundtable panel, we're having a panel, but we're also reminding you of how important it is. And if this panel is important to you, to support it and to give as much as you can. And we have a challenge that said, can you make $10,000 before 10 o'clock? Right now, we need $6,293. So we're doing well, but we have to keep going. $6,293 left. We only have about 26 minutes to do it in. WAMC.org. Everybody on a phone at 1-800-323-9262. We have wonderful volunteers. They're standing by. Also, a lot of people on the phone, too, but we also, you can do it online, WAMC.org, WAMC.org, and don't forget you can join in on this conversation, panel at WAMC.org, but we're about $6,200 away from making a $5,000 challenge from Linda and Rob in Petersburg. We certainly don't want to leave that money on the table as we continue and hopefully get back to full-length roundtable panels very, very soon as we continue to do quite well.
And if you agree that if you agree that Joe's a gem, as we all do.
Well, you're very nice. Yes.
This is the point. And we want to make sure to keep Joe around and these kinds of programs, right?
Buried gem, yes. okay, so let's go. Let's make this money and make it happen, and we'll be in good shape. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. AMC. Okay. Anybody else want to add anything before we move on to other stuff?
Yes. it was just the mention of Tulsi Gabbard in all this is just worth noting. What is the Director of National Intelligence doing in the middle of these domestic issues?
Hiding behind tractor trailers, from what I saw.
Okay.
I mean, right? I mean, all those pictures of her were like just sort of a shadowy figure behind a truck.
She has no business inserting herself into alleged domestic fraud, domestic election issues. We have long understood, and I realize since 9/11 a lot of this has gotten blurred, but foreign spying is one thing, spying on Americans is a whole nother, and the closer we get to the two being synonymous, the more dangerous a step we've taken toward authoritarianism.
And just mind you, this is the same person who thinks it's perfectly okay for us to stand down the resources that were being used to try to prevent Russian interference in our elections. Just make sure we put that period.
To add that point to the litany. WAMC.org, WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. And we need you now, 1-800-323-WAMC. If we're going to do this, we need real action. We need $6,000 in the next 24 minutes. $6,000 in the next 24 minutes to get $5,000 in challenge money from Linda and Rob. in Petersburg. All right, let's go to other topics as we roll through this special edition of the Roundtable. Hey, you know what? The government's closed. And maybe it'll reopen, but we don't know. Trump is pressuring holdouts. Spending deal gains momentum in the House. The president seems to be having some luck of getting on the phone and pressuring lawmakers who initially, these hardline House Republicans, balked at the deal and said, no way. And then they said, Trump is on line one. And they said, maybe way. As Trump pressures the holdouts, the spending deal gains momentum in the House, and some hardline Republicans have balked at the deal. Senate Democrats struck with President Trump to fund the government, complicating its path to enactment. This is this gained some traction yesterday, but the agreement, which the Senate approved on Friday and was the product of negotiations among Senate Republicans and Democratic leaders and the White House, would keep the Department of Homeland Security running for just 2 weeks. I think it's, though, now 10 days, right, from the time of the agreement, while Democrats and Mr. Trump negotiate restrictions on the administration's immigration crackdown. This all seems very odd as far as how this is being handled and done. Teresa, you've been a part of these negotiations in the past. What's going on here?
So the House passed the bill to just let it go as it was and let the Homeland Security and ICE continue not only to get the enormous, unprecedented amounts of funding that they got the first round, but add another 10 enormous amounts of money to it. And they passed it Senate to the Senate. And the Senate said, no, we're not doing that. That there were Democrats loudly opposed that, and enough Republicans opposed that they had a procedural vote to get it to go to the floor. Nope, they weren't going to vote on that. So they came up with, and I think Senator Schumer led this effort, to there were five spending bills that need to be passed. They needed to be passed by September. So separate out those five bills and let them pass so that the government continue operating, whether it's Defense Department or Health and Human Services or whatever, there's a host of them. But on the Homeland Security bill, only allow that to continue on a continuing resolution for 2 weeks while they negotiate some changes to it. The House Republicans, as you say, are objecting to that. I thought it was an interesting compromise. When I was on last week, I was told I was a little Pollyannish for thinking that that would work. I do still think that by tomorrow, I think there's a logistics issue where a couple of members that they needed to come back aren't back yet. I think it will happen by tomorrow. It's interesting to me, though, that Donald Trump was not on the phone all weekend. He was off in Mar-a-Lago. You would think, if the possible shutdown and all that's going on, that he could stay around for a few days. But he did start making calls yesterday and try to get some of these House Republicans to agree to this two-step process where most of the legislation goes, most of the funding bills go, and you spend 2 weeks negotiating. Now, what will happen at the end with Homeland Security, it's hard to know whether or not you get restrictions. But it seems clear to me that some of the Republicans are ready to put some restrictions on the...
We have $5,331 that we need to make this goal. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org, WAMC.org. 1-800-323-9262, a $5,000 challenge if we can raise $5,000 in the next 19 minutes. I guess what blows my mind, and maybe this making more out of this than it should be, but they have one vote to play with, right? Yeah. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Or
that kind of crept up on
it. But they could pick up some Democrats.
But I think that the bigger issue is the fact that Democrats have to negotiate over requiring the Department of Homeland Security to operate within the bounds of the Constitution of the United States.
Right. Yeah.
And so, and I mean, you laugh, but
no,
that is what is so, so horrifying. And I use that
I
word.
Cry.
It is horrifying, right? I mean, We require, we have an SOP in the city of Albany that says that officers cannot.
Standard operating procedure?
Yes. They cannot cover their badge numbers. And while I understand the concern that police officers have when there are activists who are filming what they're doing, who are calling them out, who are calling out their families, that type of activity is, to me, reprehensible. These are public servants who are doing their jobs. And so I understand the concern that officers have with respect to that. But the flip side of it is that we live in a democracy where the power around policing is so huge that we must demand that those who are executing that power be known to us, that we be able to see them, and that we be able to have a badge number so that if they pull our kid out of our house or our spouse out of our house, we know who engaged in that activity. And well, so that, to me, should not be something that we have to negotiate. We shouldn't have to negotiate whether or not they have a judicial warrant right. to go into someone's house.
Yes.
This is in the Constitution. Yep. And so for me, this is where the power that this administration is wielding is nothing. We haven't seen it, certainly not in modern times. And everyone should be afraid, because if this is how they wield this power now, and we have to negotiate in a budget to get them to follow the Constitution, we are in a really bad spot.
But what's not working now, what hasn't been working, is that there is a check on that. The founders anticipated that you're going to have may have bad actors, whether it's in the executive branch or the judicial branch or the legislative branch. In this case, I have what I consider a bad actor and his whole team of bad actors in the executive branch who are pushing the bounds of our democracy. But the check on that is the Republicans' House and Senate. And that's the piece that's not working. And it needs to start working, or we're not going to have a democracy. And so, and they are starting, some of them are starting to say what they've been afraid to say, right? But so you do need to negotiate it, and you need to negotiate cameras. But I think you need to negotiate that you can't walk down, you can't send ICE officers out there to walk down the street and stop everybody that's not white and say, show me your papers. That's not the United States of America,
but,
right? And then pick them up. And you know, too many people are in detention right now with no 73,000 people right now, many of them children, are being detained without due process in the United States of America and without proper food or medical care in terrible conditions in the United States of America. It's got to stop. And the people who can stop, Trump's not going to stop, but the Republicans have to stop him. And this is the place that they can do it.
$4,800 to go in this goal, WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll hear from Jay on this, and we welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. But let's make this $4,800, and let's make $5,000 in challenge money from Linda and Rob. No, it's not the Petries. It's Linda and Rob, and we will come back and hear how we do right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. Our last segment together before the end of the panel, and we'll go over and do some special work at 10 o'clock as we work with another community organization and helping them and helping us raise funds for this radio station. Speaking of that, we still need $4,756 to keep us going, and we would love to hear from you. We get a $5,000 challenge if we make it in the next 13 minutes. In 13 minutes, can we make $4,500? Well, I think we can, but we need everybody. We need you on the phone. We need you to go to your device, 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. These conversations are so important. The conversations that we're having, the interaction that we have with each other about these important issues, we must make sure that that continues. We must fund that to make sure government funding is gone. They don't want us having conversations like this, so it's up to us now to fill the void. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. We are talking, of course, about the situation in What are we talking about? We're talking.
We were talking about
the budget,
the budget shutdown.
That's exactly what we were talking about. Thank you, Teresa.
And
thank you for paying attention.
And will they vote on it? And yes, they will eventually.
Yes.
But
I'm telling you, if we make even more money this break, I'll get cue cards.
Like I said, you're a gem.
rusted and crumbling. Jay Jochnowitz.
I have to admit, I'm not really optimistic about this situation in any way, because what has to happen is so sweeping. And if you even took one aspect of it, just what are you going to get out of this? Are you going to unmask the ICE agents? Are you going to get them to show their IDs, carry their badges? Are you going to get a commitment to not use or at least not abuse administrative warrants? Are you going to get ICE to completely back off the due process? Nobody's entitled to due process anymore. The people in prisons are being kept in there indefinitely now. It's indefinite detention until you say no mas and self-deport.
So I just want to, and I apologize for interrupting, but I just want to, so I have this straight in my mind. But what we're doing right now is because you started off by saying you don't feel good about any of this, so we're trying to pass a budget right now to reopen the government. Maybe that happens today, maybe it doesn't. But if it happens today, then we still have this very concentrated period of time where we figure out how we are going to deal with the issues of Homeland Security and ICE.
Right.
And what's that going to be like?
That's
another fight, right?
That's exactly what I'm saying, is that there is nothing in this fight that I think Republicans or Trump are going to give on. And so what we've gotten is we've gotten the classic 2 weeks. I'll have a plan in 2 weeks. We're going to have a great plan. But now Schumer's buying into it. And Jeffries is buying into it. That somehow in 2 weeks, we're going to be able to resolve the issues that I just listed, which are intractable.
But it's a fight worth having, because if you follow what House did, and if Schumer, I praise Schumer in this situation, because if you had followed what the House did, right? I know you're making fun of me.
I'm not making fun of you.
You are, but we'll raise some money. But in any case, everybody, while you're listening to Joe and I spat, just go to your computers. Anyway,
she wants the gem to shut up. Go ahead.
You are a gem. But no, this is a forcing function to force a discussion. Look what happened in Texas 2 days ago with that special election for a state.
Yes.
A 39-point spread in a deep red district, a Republican candidate with a ton of money, a Democratic candidate with no experience and no money, and he wins. Mm-hmm. You don't think people are paying attention to that? The Republicans are paying attention to that. The American people, the more they understand what is happening around the country with little Liam in the blue bunny hat, that has resonated throughout the country. That photo, that's a Pulitzer Prize winning photo, because it's changed the conversation. What we're going to have is 2 weeks of shining a light on this. And rather than nothing happen, maybe they're going to get some adjustments, because I do believe that there are enough Republicans who really would like to do something. I mean, even Senator Kennedy from Louisiana, who's incredibly conservative, he even said yesterday, changes. We need to have some changes. We need to have a hearing. She's got to come explain herself, because a lot of this stuff, doesn't seem legal to me.
But
go ahead.
I mean, I think that is all well and good, but I just don't see a focused, very determined ask of what
they have three
are
things they're asking
demanding.
For.
But I don't think that's enough, right? So don't wear masks. Sorry. Like, okay. I want to see the list of all of the convictions for these people who are being rounded up on the streets. I mean, if all of these people are criminals, then Minneapolis has been lying about their right, their crime statistics. So I think
4%.
We
Fox News analysis, 4%.
But I want that to come from ICE. I want them to show everyone. They know damn well that they are pulling people off the streets, many of whom are here trying to be here legally and who were granted the right to be here. But because this administration has different executive orders, they're deeming them illegal. That's what they're hanging their hat on. They're lying to the American people. These are not dangerous criminals. And they point to three or four people who sadly, horrifically lost their lives to people who were not in this country legally as the reason to take a child and use them as bait to get their parent out of their house. And I think that's what we need. We need it to just stop. This entire operation needs to stop completely. And there then needs to be an investigation, and there need to be guardrails put in place on how ICE operates. They are so far outside the law right now. I don't think that three things fix it.
Well, I agree with you, and I mean, literally, and it's just...
$20 from at least 200 people out there to get us to the number that
right.
we need to get to.
We need $3,200 right now. $3,200.
We say that, but journalism is a big piece of this, right? Hearing from these voices is a big piece of it. Hearing from, you know, I'll go back to Fox News in Minnesota. They took the time to go look at the ICE data because it's there. ICE has to by law put out the data. It's there, but people have to put it together. They did an analysis of all the people in Minneapolis and Minnesota. 4% have convictions for violent crimes. 60%. No crimes whatsoever. All of the people in this Dilley Detention Center in Texas, nobody's committed a crime. We need to shine a light on that. But I think, yes, it would be great if you could put a stop to it. I don't think you can put a total stop to it. But over the next 2 weeks, you can begin to put some parameters on it, get these Republicans to cross over and say, that, you know, have a forcing function.
We just have 4 minutes. We need $3,000. Do what you can. WAMC.org. We have $5,000 that we will get from Linda and Rob. If we make this $3,000, if we don't make it, we don't get it. It's as simple as that. We desperately need it. We want this these conversations to continue. We want the radio station to continue. And we want you to support us. WAMC.org, WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. $3,000. We can do this. WAMC.org.
I was just going to say that I completely agree with you about
something's better than nothing.
And it's worth having the debate so people hear it. Just a simple point at how the limits of that is that while we're looking at the administration is saying we're going to get rid of the worst, we're getting the criminals out and all this, and the statistics
they're lying incessantly.
They don't hold up on the statistics at all. You show people that, and their answer to it is anyone who crossed the border illegally is illegal.
Well, no, I don't think that's the majority of the people, though. And I think one of the things that they're doing in Maine, which I think is fascinating, it's the faith community doing this, they're putting out profiles of people who have been disappeared. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is who they are. And showing, because story after story, when people saw the little boy and his dad, clearly on a they were not illegal, their pathway, he hadn't committed any crimes. The more that we can get those stories, that's why journalism is so important. The more that those stories come out, whether they come out from the faith community posting the pictures and their stories, or whether they come out from journalists or some combination, or the what's going on in these detention centers and how people are being held in decrepit conditions. That's, I think, public opinion is going to force the Republicans to change this.
2.5 minutes. We need $2,500. Come on, everybody. $5,000 on the table. We needed a $10,000. We needed $10,000. We're now down to the last $2,500. We only have 2.5 minutes. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. Keep the phones ringing. Go to your device. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. 2 minutes and $2,500.
It's a question then of how quickly you can change hearts and minds as opposed to this all being just a pinball machine.
Well, I also don't think in 2 weeks you're not going to get a resolution likely. So you're going to have another continuing resolution, which will be more pressure on, okay, so what is it that they're doing? What I appreciate that Schumer did is create this forcing function to shine a light and force Republicans to vote on this, to be held accountable for all of these undemocratic things that are happening rather than just pass it through like the House Republicans did.
90 seconds, everything on the table will count, Kathy.
Well, look, I think if you want to understand the importance of this public radio station, there's a story that Jay and I talked about briefly in the Washington Post that I recommend about an individual who sent a letter to a judge, a prosecutor, basically urging him not to prosecute an Afghani refugee. And he received a subpoena from the government. They subpoenaed his Gmail account and a visit from Homeland Security at his home. Highly disturbing the way that administrative warrants are being used by this administration to silence people and to silence people like us, people like you. And if you want is to continue to have this voice in the shining light, you got to support it. So please get those pledges in.
WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. Just under $2,000, and we've got about a minute to go. Everything on the table will count. We have to go to take a break, but we'll be back. My thanks to Kathy Sheehan, Jay Jochnowitz, and Teresa Bourgeois. You're all wonderful, and I appreciate your comments, and thank you for being so supportive of our efforts this morning.
And thank you for supporting the station, all you listeners.
Be well. Thank you very much. WAMC.org will continue after this short break.